He didn't ask what I did apart from that. He doesn't know, he doesn't care. As far as he's concerned, this is the entitlement of pastors. So when Pastor Frankie bought a car, well, for those of you who are here, if you are wondering how I bought a car, I can assure you, but let me just give you the gist. All right, not the whole gist, just for you. How did I pay for it? I teach part-time at Newey. As soon as they pay me my salary for the month, I wire it to the brother whose company helped me buy it. It was the money I got paid teaching, driving up and down to go and teach, that I used to finance it. Because I had to pay for about a year period after I paid the first lump sum. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't raise an offering. It was not my birthday. I was just desperately in need. And the brother, he was driving behind me. He saw my car was always stopping. He said, okay, what did you do your motor? I said, oh boy, I need to change them. Why never change them? I said, don't be vexed. You know the vest change motor. You won't just get angry and say, this guy, even if you want to vex, you vex in your bedroom. In the name of Jesus, I declare, it's between you and your closet. Let it go to the heavens and go and walk. You understand? When the heavens walk, then the manifestation will manifest. Do you follow my point? So the brother said, are you going? I said, oh boy. When a man's complaining, like, you should know that he has issues. There are reasons why he has to talk about it. You think I didn't know the car was bad? If I just had a cooler laugh, I'd just go there myself. Who doesn't like going to Alti Brisco? I'm pointing. Everybody likes it. Well, don't just point like that. When you want to point, there must be Naira holding your hand up. The Lord is good. I told this story because the guy just thought it. He thought that was an entitlement of a pastor. And this is the interesting part. A lot of people have that mentality. Because we don't have more time to drop it, to talk about it today, but let me just beg you for one thing. Drop it. What did I say?
Drop.
Just drop it. Do your work. I've seen pastors that ruined their churches because they were angry. Oh man, you preach. The reason why some people die is because they don't take care of their pastor. Okay, if you are hungry, come and say, please, I'm hungry. This is cursing people from the pulpit. It only scatters the church. It doesn't make people behave better. They can't pay their rent. They're angry with the congregation. People can't give. When you harass people like that, they go come out. Then you harass the chairs to give. That is the empty chairs. Like I said, you must drop the entitlement mentality. What Jesus said is this. He said, no servant goes to work, returns home, and tells the master, I have already worked. Let me sit down and eat. He said, no. The master will tell him, now, you've come from working. Go to the kitchen. Go and prepare my food for me. After that, you can go and settle down and eat. He said, in the same manner, Jesus told his disciples, you also, after you have done everything, say, we are only, King James says, unworthy servants, or unprofitable servants. Yes, King James says unprofitable servants. That is, we are servants not deserving of this profit. We have only done what we're supposed to do. In effect, I'd like to add a few words. What more is there for us to do? You are not allowed, both as a Christian and especially as a preacher, to have an entitlement mentality. Anything you do, just do it. After you've done it, you've done it. Do you get my point? If you are blessed with things, be happy. Be happy. One day, brother saw me. This joke will make you laugh. It really happened. He just said, sister, I've been thinking about you. I just needed to give you this. It's not much. Please, sir, just take it. So he wrapped something and put it in my hand. So after he left, I opened it. This was a few months ago, maybe like 3 months ago. And it was 50 naira. So I always am grateful. I thank God for it. I put it in my drawer. So I was just talking to him in the office. Then he ran back again. He said, excuse me, sir, please, I need to check. What was that? I said, what is it? He said, please, sir, I think there's a mistake. He now brought the money and said, please, sir, there was a mistake. He now gave me $50, US dollars. He had the $50 in his hand, but he didn't look at it. He just wrapped it. Mistakenly gave me 50 naira. And what I'm telling you, sir, is that I didn't think anything of it. I was happy. I was grateful. I thanked God. 50 naira is money. If you don't believe it, go and steal it. And wait for them to catch you. Don't just steal it and run. Steal it, then let them catch you. Then you now know it's money. I was very grateful. I thanked God. No, really. I was grateful. My wife was happy later that, oh, when you guys, I said, it was a bit strange for a man his caliber to run up to come and give me 50 naira. But it's money. He now ran back and said, ah, Oga, what was that? It's here, it's money. He said, he was so embarrassed, you know the way. Please, I'm so sorry. This is what I was supposed to give you. I said, okay, that one looked more godly, I agree, but... The Lord is good. I'm just emphasizing the fact that, look, we must not have an entitlement mentality. I'm watching because we have other things to do. So let me please be quick, okay? So that's why I said the issue that, one, of course, I've tackled two things now. Moses almost died, and Uzzah died. You know the story of Uzzah. Uzzah died because he touched the ark. This is the funny part. Who made the mistake? Was it Uzzah? Who made the mistake? David. David was the one that said, go and carry the ark the wrong way. But the error of David, when it was about to be exposed, Uzzah decided to try and cover it. The error of David was going to be exposed when the ark would fall down. And Uzzah said, no, the ark must not fall down. And many things went on in there. One of them was that was God trying to expose the error of David. And Uzzah said, no, let's cover it properly. And God got angry. And of course, what happened was that he touched the ark that he was not supposed to touch. And God, slew him. Sometimes, I'm not trying to say this, good intentions are not always good enough. You must be careful to understand proper procedure. Let me say that again. The fact that you have a good intention is not always good enough. I hear it a lot. They say we're always raising money. It's not for the church of God. You should not have a reputation. Christians sometimes will take reputation in stupid things. We take pride in stupid things. The people outside believe that you love money too much, and you now want to take pride. Say, yes, we know we love money, but are we eating it? Are we not using it to build church? I heard a man preach this one day. I said, you shouldn't say such things. Your intention doesn't make it right. Do you get my point? Uzzah had a good intention, but I believe that he understood, maybe, I don't know, I just suspect that he must have known the commandment. He just felt that the exigencies of the moment, all right, made those commandments unimportant. And God said, no, I won't accept that. The lesson there is that let's all be careful in what we do. I said something to us, it was yesterday, that once I was watching a man on TV, the moment I cited him, I told my wife, this man is not called to ministry. How did I know? I don't know. But the moment I saw him preaching on TV, I said, this man is not called to ministry. I've read Ken Hagin enough. Let me quickly drop this. I'm talking to preachers. Ken Hagin taught faith extensively. But I didn't learn much of faith from him. I learned a lot of foundation. All right? The people that taught me faith more were more people like John G. Lake, David Oyedepo, I learned a lot of hate from Ken Hagin. Don't misunderstand me. I learned a lot. But the most important thing I learned from Ken Hagin was ministry. Listen, when it comes to faith, he's still the person I listen to most because I have a lot of his materials and I like the way he talks. But what I learned more from him are the spiritual experiences he narrates. From listening to him for a long period, I realized doing the work that God didn't send you to do can kill you eventually. Doing it the wrong way can also kill you. He said that because he refused to prophesy as a prophet, but was just teaching and teaching and teaching, God told him he would have died by the age of 57. That the Lord appeared to him and said, 57 years of age is where your life will have ended, except that I allowed you to fall down and dislocate your elbow. So that you came to hospital, your head is cool now. He said his wife just got up from a chair less than 30 minutes before. The door opened and the Lord walked in, took the same chair and sat on it and said, I need to talk to you. That if we didn't have this talk, 57 years of age, you would have died. Like I said, we don't have all the time. Listen to these messages. I was going to drop something. It's very funny when you talk to ministers and their heads are empty. What do I mean by heads are empty? In fact, that's another point. I talk about knowledge, so I've jumped into it now. No, I like the way the thing is progressing. So once I went to preach in Ado Ekiti when I was a house officer, and some men came from one big minister's, if I mention his name, you'll know. He was going to do a crusade in the town, and they came from his ministry, and they are full-time pastors working with this man. I was a medical doctor. working during my residency, but I used to take my leave to come and work in that church where I worked as a house officer. So that day, because I was around, so I was also a full-time preacher for those weeks. Do you understand? And so three full-time preachers were now moving around together. And I will be telling stories. And this man will be listening to me as if I'm casting news. And I kept on wondering, what is wrong with these people? I went to a medical school, did a house job, did NYC. I'm doing residency training now. You said this is the only job God called you to do. Do you get my point? Yet, I'm telling the history of Christianity on the earth. You never heard it before. I will mention names like William Marion Brigham. What is the name of this one? Catherine Kuhlman. I said, remember one of them? He would do like this. I was looking at them like, are these people okay? No, I was bewildered that what's going on here? This is the only job you do. I have to go to work. My chief is going to call me and say, Dr. Leshino, go downstairs. One young man just died. Find out how why he died. I will cut up a dead body for 2 hours. After that, I come up. I read book. I attend seminars. I will be cutting specimens and reading slides. You will go up, go to the ministry office in the morning and lead prayer. Finish prayer, do counseling. And I was amazed. I was the one telling them who Catherine Kuhlman was. I said, but I didn't go to America. I had never been to America. In fact, I didn't go to America for the next, how many years? Maybe 18 years. How did I know all these things then? Robert Sladen wrote a book. And he called it God's Generals. That the Lord appeared to him and said to him, recite the history, find out how they, why they failed and why they succeeded. Write it down. I want my people to learn. And people, I see preachers, they've been in ministry for some time. Ken Hagin wrote a book, I Believe in Visions. They haven't read it. This story I tell all the time, that the man was going to die before his time. Do you know a lot of preachers who will die before their time have not read that story? And that is the very reason they will die before their time. That is why, listen, many of, because most people here know me. Are you pastoring in the church? No. Why not? It would be a nice idea. I learned long ago, there is not every idea that is nice, that is correct. So, what's wrong with pastoring churches? Nothing, of course. How can anything be wrong? I encourage people to pastor churches. I support them the way they can, I can. But I just realize that each person's assignment is different. How did I learn it? Just by reading. God didn't wake me up one day. Banky, sit down. I want to let you know your assignment is different from that of Pastor Murphy. I wanted to know that you and Okemoto are different people. Oh. Don't follow Bishop Oyedepo. Let him do his thing. Oh. You are not a general overseer. Oh. He didn't tell me anything like that. Just by listening to what the other man said, I found out that before I make any decision, I have to be careful. Please, you cannot be, a minister is first of all a disciple. Let me first say that. The Bible says Jesus picked 12 so that they might be with him, then he will send them out. A lot of people think that preaching is about shouting. Once I heard a young man preach, everybody was so excited. Why? Because he shouted very well. Nothing wrong with shouting. I scream sometimes when I'm excited. But it's not the ability to perform. And so they were so excited that I was telling myself that. This was long ago. What is exciting these people in what this man said? He said very little today. I was in the meeting. I was happy for him. He performed well. He did. His performance was good. But what I couldn't understand was the excitement at the performance. The whole church went crazy. Everybody was feeling so happy. This was in Lagos, not here. This was in Lagos. And I remember that day I sat down. I was like, what is exciting them? All this guy did today was perform because the message was, God, please, you know, with due respect, was fairly empty, very shallow. I wouldn't take a bus to come and hear it. If I can't track the angle. Really? I couldn't understand the excitement. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad person. In fact, the person I'm talking about, I heard him much years later. And when he was preaching this time around, this is the interesting part. Next time I heard him speak, he didn't shout. So, you see, that first time, he was young. He was still trying to perform. He wanted to meet up to the senior people. You understand? And that's why a lot of people still think that it's about performing. Next time I heard him, this was years later. I still remember that day when he began to preach, he was particularly very slow. This is how he was talking that day. You see, and you know the interesting part? That day I could hardly sit down. He will talk, I will jump out of my chair. You know, when people are preaching, people give offering sometimes in front. It's something I have hardly done in my life. That is the only day that I did it. He will preach, I will just go crazy. I'm serious. The days of performing had passed. That day, towards the end of his message, he also shouted. But this time, man, it was not just the shout of performing. It was that now he was full of substance. The young man had learnt. You understand? He was full of the word of God. What am I going to say? Listen, preaching is about, first of all, knowing. Do you understand my point? It is first of all about knowing. So please, preachers, you cannot read averagely. If they are mentioning one minister. You heard the name four times. One day I went to preach in my friend's church. There's a particular man of God, I won't mention his name, very well known. But my friend doesn't like him much. But in his church, they had his books. So I got there, I said, let me have that book. So I bought the book. He said, did you read that guy? That, you know, the way men talk. Do you read him? I said, no, I've never read him before. He said, I don't really like his materials. I said, me too. I have not really read him. I said, but, you know, one day we will die now and go to heaven. And God will now say, I told that man to preach something. Did you hear it? And I will say, no. I said, you know it's not good now. He agreed with me, so I bought the book. Why are you buying the book? I said, I've been hearing this man's name for a very long time. Let me hear what he's saying. I don't just want to be hearing his name. Now, he's reading a book. So I picked the book, went through, I got his message afterwards. I listened to him in number. I'm still not a fan of him. You know, you can't love everybody like that. You understand? There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? Those are the ones we used to go crazy over David, you know, post messages. One of the sisters said, I actually prefer listening to his wife. Like, are you anointed or you're dead? What's wrong with you? You know, do you get my point? I couldn't understand. What is your problem? How can Bishop be talking? I remember one day, one sister said, he's not sent to everybody. He's not sent to everybody. Maybe you have a problem. You know that kind of thing. I can't be sure with the problem is not sent to everybody. What do you mean? Do you get what I say? You don't love somebody so much, you didn't understand why everybody is not dying over him. Do you get my point? Some people don't listen to me because they don't like my accent. No, they don't mean any harm. Where is this guy? Kenny? Okay, he's not around. When he was in UK, he was doing his postgraduate studies. He used to listen to me online, you know, shared material with a lot of people around. And a lot of them were white people. He said that they were really impressed that they're Christians, but their own Christianity, they didn't understand decoding Bible like this. Do you understand? Like, how this guy, you know, how was it? But the problem they had was that they couldn't hear what I was saying most of the times. That's why I told my wife, I have to adjust some of my pidgin I say now. This is when I say anything in pidgin, I say it properly again. Because I found out people listen from out of the country, and some of them are not even black people. So when I say, oh boy, now the guy begins show like that, they'll say, he wasn't doing a performance, you know. We're going to show it here now. But for us, show means to appear. So some people don't even like you because they don't like the way you talk. And I have no problem with that as long as what I'm saying you are learning from somewhere else. That's what I'm trying to explain. Do you follow? But listen, I told my friend that day, whatever this man is saying, I must hear my own portion of it. And that must be the attitude of preachers. You must be full of knowledge. You must be. Don't wait for inspiration. Kenegan said the reason why a lot of pastors do poorly is because they think that those who have prophetic gifts, they want to prophesy all the time. He said you can't prophesy all the time. That a preacher, a prophet is first of all either a preacher or a teacher. You must go with a message you want to prepare, you want to preach to people. If inspiration comes under and starts seeing visions, anointing starts flowing, prophecy starts coming, give it. He said, but if it doesn't come, don't worry. Preach, teach, fold your Bible, and go away. There are many prophets, that's their problem. They start using familiar spirits. There are many people, of course, you can't mention any names. I see the way they are ministering, and I wonder what's going on. And I read what happened to them was that at the time, they were so anointed with those kind of special manifestations. After a while, the thing stopped. And sometimes it stops. There's one man once, many of us may not know him, but very well-known man of God. Been preaching also, it was about 5 years my senior. He left school as I was coming in. One day I came to Enugu, I went to see him. My wife and I were with him in his hotel room for over 2 hours. We talked. In fact, at the end of the day, we knelt down. He prayed for us. When he was telling us stories, I was humbled. As a student, he said he went to Abba to go and do a program. He didn't even know some people had come there to cause trouble. He did not know. He said, okay, let us pray. He said, even he did not know. He told everybody, stand up. Just watch. Watch. He doesn't know what was going to happen. He just said, Holy Ghost. As he did like this. Either it's physical fire or fire people could not see, entered the place. Those people caught fire. The troublemaker, they were jumping out through the window. These are men, you know, that if one brother was telling me once that he laid hands on one man, he told me the name of the fellow, well-known Nigerian, that he closed his eye when he laid hands on the fellow. They opened his eyes. He found out that the Holy Spirit lifted the guy off from the floor and threw him back because the man's shoes were right there. The man had fallen somewhere. So apparently that guy first came out of the shoes and then went backwards. You know, that time, it was all over the country. Many men, it was happening to them. One brother said, he would just say, everybody, okay, line up on that wall. He will come, touch the wall on this side. The anointing of God will zap through the wall, knock everybody off. This man said, these things were so hot, then he left school. He said to enter ministry. He started church or pastoring. He came to church, nothing. He started preaching after school, nothing. That the whole thing disappeared. And this is the interesting part. He does like that a lot. And a lot of people in their circles that time, it happened to them. He said, the Holy Spirit had to tell him, look, settle down and start teaching the Bible. So he focused on his teaching ministry, and that's all he has done till today. But some other men wouldn't agree. I know one like that. He opened church. After some time, he closed the church. The church was not growing. Why? He expected to come there and be laying hands every day. And when he laid hands, everybody got tired. He closed the church. He left one town, went to another one. Opened another church. One day, he sold the church. Sell. One day, when he tired, he been working up and down. Why? Because he just couldn't recognize that sometimes these things come in phases. That phase had passed. But there are friends that understood it. They settled on the word of God and they made a success of their ministries. So many of them, you know what they do? They now give in to familiar spirits. Please, like I said, I'll let an eagle teach you that one, not me. He has more experience in that. What I'm just emphasizing to everybody is, listen, the man of God must be full of understanding. Full. He must be full of understanding. And it's not by inspiration, it's by learning. He has to continue to learn. Then, I'm going to rush over the other ones because I'm almost sure what I have to say. Before I leave that one, please, therefore, he must spend time. You are never too old to learn. The fact that you are preaching, in fact, you know the funny thing, I check my life, there are very few people, I'm sure, that listen to messages more than I do. And I'm preaching all the time. Bishop, you've taken my car before. As soon as you start my car, what comes on? Messages start playing. If I just give you my car and start it, once you put it on, the messages play. You get to my house, I listen to messages as much as possible. I have to keep learning. We keep reading. I've done very poorly with reading in recent times, but I've told myself I have to improve again. The messages have been so excellent because when you drive, it's playing. Some of the reasons why I like, in fact, sometimes, the other day I was supposed to go to Benin and go and do exams. I was on the external examiner in the College of Medicine there. So I was reluctant to go. The guy said, look, Banky, make sure you come with my classmates. They're HOD there. I said, Darlington, I beg now. He said, no. I didn't want to travel. But I just remembered, I said, 4 hours going, 4 hours coming. So I should be able to do like three messages going, three coming. That's six. All right, let's go. I'm serious. By the time, by that first one, I did four before I reached the place. I said, good, this journey was worth it. When I'm going back, I start again. Sometimes that's why I enjoy being alone. So anytime I have to travel distance, like maybe I'm going to teach. Yes, I mean, that's when I teach in the universities. I just drive. The reason is that I'm listening to messages. And I'm saying to all of us, you are never, you can't, the fact that you're a preacher is what makes you more needful. It makes it more needful for you to keep learning. It makes it more needful. It makes it more needful. You must have an open heart that wants to learn. Pick a subject, it's controversial, go and study it. Something everybody is doing, something doesn't make it right. I hope you understand that. Every church is doing it, doesn't make it right. They only copy each other. Ah. When I was growing up, I never heard of first fruits in my life. It's been jumping from one church to the other now. Very erroneous doctrine, but everybody's copying it. The practice is totally wrong. But it's jumping from one church to the other. First salary every year, bring to church. The thing is so wrong, but the pastors like it. The income is good. But people keep on copying it. Remember I said it's a practice. There's a principle behind it that is sound. But I don't want to discuss that now. Some of these documents want to preach it. If you really want to preach and be balanced, if for me to believe you, carry the money, go and give to the poor. Once you are collecting it, I don't trust you. Go and check Jesus when he wants to do radical things about money. What do you used to say? Go and give to the poor. That way you couldn't see anything about it. So sell all you have and go and give to the poor. Then I know you are preaching truth. And Christians hang their faith when I have paid the first fruit. Like I keep on saying, Nancy, you like him? Nothing concern me. I'm not collecting my first fruit. It's true now. I'm not discussing money now, so I don't have time to go into the doctrines of it. But I want to know that something is popular. Settle down and do some research. Just settle down. For just want to know, I mentioned first matter. Even if you want to practice first with the way it's in the Bible, do you understand? It is a token. Do you get my point? It is a first expenditure. Maybe, okay, you earn your first salary for the year. The first 1,000 naira is the first fruit. It can be the first 50 naira. The Bible left it to your discretion. What it just says, that's for those who want to practice the way it was given to the Jews. Do you understand? Is that before you do any other thing, are you getting my point? Before you eat, before you pay your landlord, you must take that and give to the Lord. The only problem we have in Christianity is where is the Lord? That's the only problem now that we can argue from that till tomorrow. So one of my friends, what he used to do, the first time the 1,000 naira came out, you know, remember 1,000 naira? First time it came out, we were just walking on the road, one man begged him for money. So this is the first time I spent 1,000 naira note. You gave the guy. That one will go wild. Like, what? I only beg, okay? I said, beg now. You just, you know, they can't beg you. Wait, wait, okay, wait, wait, wait. May I give you change? He said, no need for change. He just wanted to say, the first time I spent 1,000 naira, it was not on myself. I gave somebody. That's the principle behind it. It's not a way of generating income for churches. The way we do it currently, in fact, you know God is even helping me. Take the next point I want to make. Purify your motives. Sometimes doctrines are popular with people just because of the advantage that we gain from it. We have to be careful that we only go for truth. Let's read this scripture. It's the one I like using there so much. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It said from verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, from verse 4, it said, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's just where I'm going to stop, all right? Paul was trying to explain that we are not doing things craftfully. We are not using craft to do anything. We are just saying things as openly as they are. And it's one of those things I learned also, being a minister. One thing you are not allowed to do with the word of God is to use it to achieve any aim, no matter how good the aim is, apart from just declaring the truth. Truth is the only thing that's allowed to change people. Did you hear what I said? That's very important. Truth is the only thing that is allowed to change people. Just declare truth. Just declare truth the way it is. True. What I mean is this. If you want church to grow, as an example, Minister has said, okay, let us now teach on evangelism. And the aim is that this, our church, is not growing. So, we now come to church. If you sow, win a soul, you are wise. God expects us to preach the gospel. And you know, everything you have said, you see they are true. True of us. They're true. They're true. But the reason why you are saying what you are saying is that you want the members to go out, win members for the church. You're not being honest. Even though it sounds right, but you're not being honest. If you want members for the church, you know how you should do it? That's how I do it. I'll say, brethren, we have been this number for the last 6 months. Is it good? Shouldn't we increase the number? Please, invite somebody. Are you not being blessed here? Just say it like that. If you want to preach on evangelism for the sake of evangelism, so that if they win the souls and carry them to another church, you are not bothered. Do you get my point? Yes, never use the preaching of the word of God to use to increase your number. It is ungodly. These are the things that people don't realize. Like I tell preachers, and there's nothing wrong with it. One day a friend of mine told me about something about money. I keep on talking about that. We have to strike a balance in money. When people listen to me a lot, all right, especially if they read some of my books, which are aimed at correcting people in that area. The problem with correction is that people tend to go to the other extreme. That's just the problem with correction. So you have to be careful that you balance things. Do you understand? For example, I wrote the book, So Who Will Pay for This? Partly because I heard people misunderstand me. A lot of preachers disagree what I preach about money because they are afraid of for church income. That's all. Not because they can prove from the scripture that it's not true. But they think the truth undermines the integrity of the income of the church. But like I keep on saying all the time, it is not true. It is not true because I'm a personal testimony. Kingdom World Ministries doesn't need one kobo from my family. Does not need it. Even though we give, because I have income from other places. You understand my point? I mean, I work in the university and the hospital. I get paid. My wife does business. She earns some money and all of that. So, of course, it makes sense. Like I used to tell my wife those days, who believes in Kingdom World more than us? Nobody. I said, so who should be giving more than us? It is us. Now, since God has given us the opportunity. Do you get my point? So we give to Kingdom. But then, right now, Kingdom World doesn't need a dime. If in a whole year my wife and I say we're not giving a dime towards Kingdom World Ministries, it makes no difference to the accounts. That's how good God has been to us. Yet I'm preaching what I'm preaching. One brother come the other day, said, please, sir, does Kingdom World accept small offering? I said, our minimum for co-workers is 100 naira a month. Is it 100 naira or 50 naira, sir, Bishop? 50 naira. I don't know whether it's 100 because... It used to be 20 naira. So I know it's been moving up. So I don't know whether it's on 50 now or 100. If you're a co-worker with me in Kingdom of Ministry, you must give money on a monthly basis. It's a law. It's not the law of God. It's a law of banking. I made a law. But the minimum is 50 naira or 100. I'm not sure now. And the maximum has not changed for a long time. It's still 10 million. Every month. We have a maximum. If you give us more than 10 million now on a monthly basis, we'll go crazy. So don't just not cause wahala. Just leave us alone, all right? We can't soak it yet. It will get to that point. You get my point? If you come and say, well, God laid upon my heart, we give you money monthly. He said, I said, how much? He said, 15 million. I said, okay, wait, let's do it. I will show you other ministers you can give the balance to. Just cut our own at 9. Because at this 10 million, you know what I mean? I preach balanced gospel, Abby. I beg, I know one wahala. You understand my point? The brother said, does Kingdom World take small offering? I said, yes. I said, our minimum for co-workers is 100 naira. I said to him, I don't know if I was mistaken or not. He said, okay, you don't need to be sure because they want to send us 50,000. I said, okay, that's small enough. You can send 50,000 there. It's small enough. And really, I get that kind of thing all the time. It is, I mean, to get offering of 200,000 is not strange. One man quarreled with Yinka the other day because he wanted to send us money. Yinka was abusing him. Yinka told me, say, I shouldn't mind him. He thinks the man is a fraud. The man sent 200,000 because Yinka insulted him. Yinka showed me text message because Yinka said, we should send somebody to your office. We don't have time to get anybody to his office. Okay. He sent 200,000 because he don't get time for shout. Brother called me one day. Say, transfer money to Kingdom World Ministries. How much? 1 million naira. Then one day, he talked. And so he does that once in a while. So one day I told my wife, this guy sent us 1 million naira the last few years now. I said, I think he's very stupid. He doesn't know that as God is increasing him, his offering should increase. I said, I'm waiting for him. Let him do that thing again. And I wasn't joking. Then the next time, as if he heard me, he jacked it up to 1.2 or 1.5. I said, good. I told him, I was wondering whether God knows they promote you. I told him, I was wondering that what is going on here? One day, a man called Yinka several times until Yinka finally gave him our account number. He divided 500,000 naira into one third and two thirds because he insisted that Yinka should get me my own personal account. One third he gave to me, two thirds he gave to me, and I'm preaching what I'm preaching. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. With all of this, I'm preaching the same thing I'm preaching. So I tell people, just believe me. Try my own method. Study the word of God and see whether it's true or not. What am I saying? Every preacher, don't just, everybody's doing something doesn't mean you should do it like that. Like now, my wife reminded me that, look, I forget to announce offering. You know, don't resist me in these things. You understand? And I said, look, the main reason why we don't announce offering during our meeting is because it's an outreach. Do you understand? When I don't believe I go for our outreach, it's time to collect money. I know a lot of people have sent us money because of this seminar. They just said we are doing seminar. 50K here, 50K there, dropping in because of the seminar. And they are not going to come. How am I going to send them offering basket? They are not coming. They are not near here. They are not nearby. In fact, the brother that said, I hope Kingdom would accept small offering, is because of the seminar. And that friend of mine is a pastor. He sent money, 50,000 naira, because of the seminar. I don't need the offering basket for the seminar. It is just like we discussed at our co-workers meeting, that yes, some people, they want to give, and happens you go out, you want to give. So it's good to have the opportunity open for everybody. But when I'm doing an outreach, I don't need it. Everybody's doing, like, when I do programs, in fact, when I told my friend that we sang him, they said, you're not singing him. You're not trying. Pastor Banky, you don't try. Because normally, this is not the first time I'm doing outreach seminars. It's prayer. After 15 minutes of prayer, I come up. I start teaching. So if you want to come for my meetings, thinking that after we'll have finished our drama and special songs and the children dancing, you know, you now come after 1.5 hours. You only come and meet us sharing grace. Everybody doing something one way doesn't mean you must do it that way. You must learn your own. Make sure you read the scriptures and understand what it is. That's what I'm going to explain. You must. Every preacher must be full of understanding. He must make learning a part of his life, and like I said, purify your motives. One day, a young man invited me, said, come and preach for them on campus on relationships. I said, me, on relationships. When did that one start? He said, what they want to do is that they want to use to attract. They know young people like that kind of thing. When they now come, they will now preach to them. I said, you are deceptive. He was surprised. I said, it's deception. Even though it sounds noble, I said, it's deception. You actually have no interest in teaching them about relationships, but you are publicizing a meeting on relationships. You are deceptive. He said, those young people like it. I said, but it's deception. No matter how good it seems, you are being deceptive. I said, simply write it like that. We will teach on relationships. Then after that, we'll preach to you about Christ. If you write it like that, don't bother saying it. I said, but there are things you can do that can help students. Why are you welcoming new students on relationships? They need to succeed in this school. Do an academic excellence program that really wants to help. And not because you want to preach, you know what I mean. But you're a Christian, preaching is part of what you do. You display the excellence of Christ. Just go out and do it. If you say you just want to preach, just go out and preach. Will they come? Go and pray. They will come. It's because we don't heal the sick and raise the dead. That's why we need all these kind of tricks. Do you get my point? Have you ever heard Huma Okpai? He's calling for a program. The now says relationship. The name Huma Okpai drags a particular crowd. Do you get what I'm saying? It's true. If you want to look for who you want to gather people, call Huma Okpai. They're not, it's everybody that is Huma Okpai. In fact, call Ken Katas. You call Ken Katas. Ken Katas will gather the whole campus for you. And he will come and give them these he has a way of. You will come there, you will be blessed. Preachers should be honest. That's what I'm going to say. Say things the way they are. Sometimes they say, okay, let's be singing and be waiting for the man of God. Is that, I said, me? Sing? I will come, praise the Lord, brethren. Right now, the man of God is supposed to start preaching, but he hasn't come. So what do you think we should do? Okay, greet somebody. I'll tell you, but I won't let you be worshiping. We worship you. Even if you are a girl, you take the offering. You don't go take. Say, you are not worshiping me, you are waiting. Don't be stupid. He said, what if the man doesn't come? Tell everybody. He's supposed to start at teaching at 8. Okay, like now. You know when we started? I was looking for Pastor Murphy and Okemute. Say, where then they? It was their time to talk. I couldn't find them. And then they say, oh, praise the Lord. You know, the truth was that according to the program, I look for them, wait them, and not see them. So I said, all right, so I have to jump that now. I'm quickly getting to this. And then when it now appeared, I said, all right, let me hope I can finish on time because they prepared something to share with us, all right, so we can hear it also. I mean, I just like to say things the way they are. When I won't marry my wife that time, I told her how much I was earning. I used stylo. Because women never agree to marry you, they want the show and pay sleep. So now style I use, you know, it's very easy to use style now. You go use style. Say, how much did they buy that shoe? 6,000. Hey! My whole monster, I can't even buy two complete self. Go and do your calculation. Now style. So if you don't want to marry me, go away. Let me go and preach my gospel. Do you understand my point? I'm not borrowing a car to come and visit you if I don't have. Now marry with a talk. It's marriage, you. I'll borrow a car to come and visit you when I don't have. If I the shoe I have, I'll forget it at home. I'll wear slippers. It's true now. Man of God must be honest. He must purify his motives for everything he's doing. That's what I'm trying to say. I have two more things there. Focus and be patient. I don't think I need to speak more on that issue of patience. We already know what it means. I was telling my wife the other day, Kennedy Hagin, who was such a tremendous blessing to me, because it's late now, but it's still such a tremendous blessing. That's the correct word, because I still listen to him as if he's alive. I listen to him almost every day. Almost. The day Chima just came and said, sir, this will be a blessing to you. He offloaded a huge chunk of his materials for me, which is what I'm sharing with you here now. All right? And many of us will have shared it around, you know. But Pastor Murphy gave me a lot of his videos and stuff like that. That has become part of my life all over again. Do you understand? The man has been a tremendous blessing. I told my wife the other day, I did some calculation. The first time I heard of Kenneth Hagin, he had been preaching for over 30 years. Do you hear what I said? You know, you hear of Hagin, you just assume that, the man just started ministry, boom, all over the world. The first time I heard of him in the 80s, when I was a student, he had been preaching for more than 30 years. More than. Because I don't want to give wrong figures, all right? But that man has been preaching since the 30s, I think. When did he start preaching? Is it the 50s? No. Okay, even if it was 1940, I heard of him for the first time in 85. Is that not 45 years? Do you understand? The first time I heard of him. Okay, I was not the first Nigerian to hear of him. Bishop Oyedepo and Co. had been carrying his materials around for years before that. By the time they heard of him for the first time, he had been preaching for more than 30 years. So the Kenneth Hagin you know, most of us here, was not preaching for 30 years, he was dead. Having preached for more than 60 years. Do you get what I'm going to say? So don't be in a hurry. Just do your work and don't even look for a time will come, will be big. No, you're already big. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Just take it like you're already big. When I told somebody once that in that our office in Kingdom was ministries there, last year made it 10 years they had been preaching there every Saturday. Ah, you know why she started us, right? We began it together. When we used to be two or three, she's amongst them. The earliest people were people like, of course, apart from me, my wife, you count Deji, you count Izuchuku, you count Kingsley, yes, Oyekachuku, Joy, Operiche. Two or three gathered together in his name. Then one day I did not come on time, there was nobody. They did not know I was not going to be around though. You go to church, you are discouraged. There was nobody. Did you hear what I said? Kingdom of Ministries is up there. I arrived that day from Mundu. I don't know where. I went for my friends and father's funeral. I had to go. So I left very early. Came back. My wife was waiting at home. But I didn't go home. So I came there straight. I didn't bother going up. I just waited downstairs. So anybody who's going will see me here. I waited for like 1 hour to realize that I was going to preach only myself that day. After that, I took a bike. I went home. I didn't drive to travel. I went by luxury bus. My wife said, you've come? I said, yes, I came. I went to the ministry office. Hey, did you preach? No, nobody was there. Only me, so I didn't bother. That's why I said, be patient. What did I say?
Be patient.
That's it. Anything you can't do forever, don't start it. I told myself, I can preach every Saturday till I'm 90. I will come, still very strong. Praise the Lord. That's what I will do like Kenny Hagin. They preach, and I'll be 90. If I'm willing, and God just gave me an opportunity to disseminate it, which is through internet. We do that, see this, and I'm willing to do that every Saturday. We started Tuesday meetings. Jonathan, remember, it used to be Mondays. You are amongst those who protested that why were we moving it to Tuesday? The only reason was that we rented the hall. It's our property. For 7 days a week, we used to open it once a week, Saturday. So I said, no, there must be another opportunity to use. So I said, on Mondays, teaching School of Bible Exegesis. Then one day I was praying. The Holy Spirit just told me, look, School of Prayer, that's what that thing is for. So I changed it to School of Prayer. All right? Then I moved it to Tuesdays. No, first to Tuesdays because I just said, look, I was trying to clash with churches generally, but I found out that Monday was not good. So we moved it to Tuesdays and we started teaching School of Prayer. This year now we did almost exclusive School of Prayer throughout. And I'm willing to continue doing that. That's 11 years of preaching every Saturday. I don't miss so. Ministers, they run up and I had, only 2 years ago did I start accepting invitations that included Saturdays. In a whole year, we close in December. Every Saturday I am there. Now, if you don't see me there, either I would go for my local convention, which is once a year, or I'm somewhere else preaching. And even that one has limits. You can't invite me 3 Saturdays at a go and I will agree. I say no. I try to limit it to once a month. And even then, on the average, it's not yet more than once in 2 months, on the average. Where are you running to? If you don't want to do the job, leave them. That's what I mean by focus and be patient. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think I've finished everything I want to say. The only thing I want to emphasize again is that please, turn to your neighbor, be a reader. Tell the person,
every apostle
is first of all a disciple.
Every minister
is first of all a student.
That's
it. Let's modify it again. Every minister
is first a student
and always a student.
That
is a summary of what I've shared with us. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you.